My grandmother always kept chocolates in a drawer in her dining room. I knew she was aware that I would sneak in while I thought she wasn't looking and take a few. It was a game we played. She would pretend to fall asleep in her chair just long enough for me to grab a handful and tiptoe past her and outside to where I would eat them while sitting on the tree swing in the yard. She drank Earl Grey tea around the clock and always smelled of menthol cough drops. In the evenings, we would watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, 60 Minutes, and sometimes Golden Girls. The oatmeal she made me for breakfast never was sweet enough, and the macaroni and cheese she made me for dinner was always too cheesy. She was my favorite person in my childhood world. She made me feel love more than anyone else in my life.
Lecha amar libi bakshufanai et panecha Adonai avakesh, Adonai avakesh.
Lecha amar libi bakshufanai et panecha, Adonai avakesh, Adonai avakesh. Lecha amar libi bakshufanai et panecha, Adonai.
The eighth verse of Psalm 27. Lecha amar libi bakshufanai et panecha Adonai avakesh. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, O Lord, I shall seek." My grandmother was a recluse. In her early 40s, she suffered a stroke as a result of a tumor on her brain. Looking back today, I realize that she was the age I am now when this happened. Miraculously, she survived, but the stroke left her with a face that sagged completely on one side, blinded in one eye, and the ability to make only half of a smile. She became frail and sickly, an old woman with a walker, when her friends were still strong and active and vibrant. In the stacks of photo albums in her living room, I would gaze at this woman I loved in the years before I was born, in the years before the stroke, with her lively, friendly, glowing face, eyes that twinkled, and wide, bright smile, before it was taken from her. She never was able to overcome the shame she felt in public with this face she did not see as her own. My grandfather did all of the shopping, all of the errands. She emerged from their home only once a week to have her hair set at the salon. As a child, I could never figure out what the point was, since she was seen by no one. Why spend money to have her hair done up, only to return home to sit in a chair, watching TV all day, alone? I now understand that it was likely the one last attempt at personal dignity she was able to give herself. My grandmother was a woman who lost her face. As a result, she lost her friends, her social life, because she could not take the world on. My father always said it was vanity. But I think it was more than that. I think she knew people would not see her. They would only see what had happened to her. She could not bear that people saw disfigurement rather than the person she was inside. But one thing that was left untouched by this tragedy was my grandmother's relationship with God. In all of this grief she encountered, it seemed that she never lost her faith. God saw her soul, her true face, and so in the presence of the Lord, she was unchanged, the same person she had always been. At night, on weekends, when I slept over at her house, my grandmother would tuck me into bed, climbing in under the blankets with me, cuddling me in my nightgown. We would lie there and talk about God. From her, I learned about divine love, how God was her friend, the one who was always there when she needed comfort, encouragement, light. Through my grandmother, I learned that to love others, to truly love them, is the most real way we make connection with God. I sometimes asked her if she had one wish in the whole world, what would it be? Every time, I expected her to say that she wished she could be young and strong and beautiful again. But that was never what she said. I wish that everyone could have the love in their life I have had. I wish everyone could find the comfort in God that I have found. I wish everyone would know that in seeking God, they will find themselves. They will find others. They will find true love. When we think about the face of God, I consider my grandmother's face a misshapen misrepresentation of the neshama underneath. With my grandmother, I could only see her true face by looking through old photo albums, examining her smile when she was still able to make a smile, and more fully, more truly, by learning her heart. You see, a face tells us a lot about a person, at least the things they may want us to see, the things they may want us to think about them. But to truly see a face, we have to learn the heart of the person. The same is true about God's face. As Moses learned, we cannot actually see the face of God. So, as David tells us in Psalm 27:8, we must seek the face of God. We must climb the mountain, encounter God in the flame of the bush, the warmth and light and refinement of the fire, of the heart of God, love. Victor Hugo said, "To love another person is to see the face of God." My grandmother, Doris, said, "In seeking God, we find ourselves, we find others, we find true love." And David said, "Seek my face, my heart said to you. Your face, O Lord, I shall seek."
bakshufanai.